מגילת רות.
Is your commission? This is Megillat Rut, chapter 1. Our custom is to read Megillat Rut on Chag HaShavuot. The few explanation why do we read Megillat Rut on Chag HaShavuot? The Tanakh is 1706.
1706.
Megillat Rut was written by Shmuel HaNavi. Sounds like this is just to tell us the history of the grandparents of David HaMelech. Since some Chachamim said that's what probably is the Yerushalmi said David HaMelech was born on Shavuot, died on Shavuot, so therefore this is our custom to read Megillat Rut on Shavuot, something maybe to tell us who is David HaMelech coming from. The Megillat tells us like this, Vayi b'mei Shvot HaShoftim, Vayi Ra'av Ba'aret. This story was written in the time of the judges. The judges were before Shaul HaMelech became a king. This is after Yeshua, the student of Moshe Rabbeinu and his kingdom died, so the generations of judges. The Megillah starts to tell you that thing what you're going to learn, to read about, is the time of judges. So Chachamim say this is the time of Yitran. One of the judges that we had, his name was Yitran, that came from Shevet Yehuda, and that story was in his time. Of course his second name is Boaz, the Gemara says Boaz is his son, but this is the story. Ba'ira Baret was a famine. So the Gemara said that altogether real famine that being described in the Tanakh were 9 altogether. This is famine number 6. Was in the time of Adam HaRishon, the time of Lemech, Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. And number 6 is Boaz, that is his son. Now this is what the Megillah tells us was a famine. And there was a famine in the time of David HaMelech, and one in Eliyahu Navi's time, and one in Elisha Navi's time. And this is altogether 9. The Megillah tells us was a famine. Of course, we need that story for the next sentences we're going to learn. But what that the Megillah is going to tell us? It was a famine in the time of the judges. A person that used to live in Bethlehem, that it is in the territory of the tribe of Yehuda, he moved out of Israel and he went to the city, the Gemara says, De Moab Midori, a city, one of the cities in the country, in the state that's called Moab, who is he and his wife and his two children. The Shema Isha Elimelech, the person's name, the Tlet, excuse me, the country's name is Elimelech, Hashem Ishtor Nomi, his wife's name is Nomi, Hashem Ishtim Anam, Machon Eshon Nefashim, he had two boys, Machon Nechilion, the boys came to that city of Moab and they dwell over there. Elimelech died. So first the Gemara has some kind of opinions, why did Elimelech die? One of the reasons the Gemara says that he left the country. He left the country since he was very rich and he was able, the Gemara says, to support the people to give the people food. But then he decided he doesn't want to help, so he left the country. Since he left the country, Hashem is upset at him, and Hashem took his neshama away. That's what the Megillah says, that Elimelech died because he did not want to stay in Eretz Yisrael. This is one of the opinions. The other opinions in the Gemara and in the Midrash. So one of the opinions is because he left Eretz Yisrael. He did not leave Eretz Yisrael, even though the Gemara says that you love the time of a famine. Some Chachamim say since Elimelech was very well to do, you should not leave Eretz Yisrael even when there is a famine. Right. Something very... No. He thought he was going to be a king. Right. That's what his name is Elimelech. Elimelech, the Midrash says, he thought he was going to be the king, but we'll get to it in a minute. Now that's what the Gemara says. Since his name was Elimelech, he thought he Eli Malchut Avo, says, my name is Elimelech because my father named me Elimelech as my brief. It's because it's supposed to be a king. But now it's a famine. There's nothing to eat. He left the country. So again, one opinion is that he should have stayed in Israel and support the people. One opinion is that he should not have left Israel altogether, not even by supporting the people. There's one opinion that Gemara said that he caused the people to have like kind of depression. Because people relied on him, was very, very rich and well-to-do. Since he left the country, what did he do with all his wealth. But since he left the country, the people in Eretz Israel got very upset and got very sad and depressed. And they got very desperate because he left it. He left Israel. So that's another opinion in the Midrash, that the Midrash is not so happy with this guy Elimelech. How come you made Am Israel to be so upset and depressed because you left? So the Megillah tells us that he died, but the Megillah describes him as Ish Naomi. So the Gemara says Ish Naomi means Chas V'Shalom, when a person dies, he dies for his wife. That's what it means. That's the similar explanation the Gemara says. That it means the children, really, each one is getting married and is going to be busy with their family, but the wife always misses the husband. The Gemara says, this mitzvah says, "Vayamot Elimelech Ish Naomi," to tell you that Elimelech died for his wife, and now she feels she's a widow, and she's a widow, it's very hard for her. The Gaon Vilna, before his mother died, he told his mother, when you go to Gan Eden, you're going to have a trial over there. Before you go to Gan Eden, there's a little court. Don't say nothing. He's going to ask you, what's your name? Ask you, what's your name? You say, my name is so-and-so. And just tell them that you're a widow for a lot of years. He says, a widow for a lot of years, will grant you with a visa to Gan Eden immediately. The Gemara says, the widow suffers very much. The Gemara says, the lady wants very much to be married. It's very hard for the lady to live by herself, and especially a widow. And this is the only thing that told his mother, you go to Gan Eden, you tell them over there, my name is so-and-so, and I was widow for so many years, they can grant you right away to go to Gan Eden. So that's really what the sentence maybe means, that Vayamot Elimelech Ish Naomi, Elimelech, the husband of Naomi died. It means to tell you how bad it is for Naomi that now she was left by herself, especially if she's in a strange country, maybe. But Yishael Yush Nevanea, she was left with her two children. Of course, you don't have to tell me that. Everybody knows. If the Megillah tells you before that Naomi was married and she had two children and her husband passed away, everybody understands it, can figure out himself, that Naomi is by herself with her two children. Megillah does not have to tell you that she was left with the children. Of course she was left with the children. She came down with the children. There's no information they died. Of course they are alive together with her. And the question is why the Megillah has to do this calculation as 4 minus 1 is 3. This was Naomi and Elimelech and the children. Now you know that he died, so the leftover is 3, is she and her two children. So it's not necessary to tell us. And they decided to marry girls from this nation, it's called Moab. Shema Achat Opa, one of the girls' name was Opa, Mishema Shinit Ruth. The second one was Ruth. Vayishvu Sham Kiyas Hashanim, they dwelt over there for 10 years. It's a machloket between the Chachamim, between the Midrash, the Zohar, the Rambam, and all the other Mefarshim. Did really they marry non-Jewish girls or they converted them? The Midrash says they could not even convert them, because right now at this moment nobody from that nation was accepted as a convert yet, because everybody thought that from that nation is called Moab. It says you may not intermarry with that nation. The Torah says because they did not bring food to Am Yisrael while Am Yisrael were walking by coming out of Egypt, so you can't get converted, the Torah says. So of course they marry non-Jewish girls, and because they marry non-Jewish girls, some Chachamim say that's maybe one of the reasons that we're going to learn that bad things happen to them. But as the Megillah tells us that they married two girls from the nation of Moab, that it says in the Torah, do not intermarry to that nation. Sentence 5, if you permit me, they died as well. So the Megillah says, that first before they died, HaKadosh Baruch Hu started to do bad things to their possessions. So first they lost some money in the stock market, and then the animals died. This says Vayamutu Gam Shnehem. Also they died. What do you mean also? It means first Hashem, the Midrash says, the Gemara says, does not Chas v'Shalom punish a person. First he gives him hints, and then if he understands the hints, he will regret what he does. And here Kadosh Baruch Hu first took away the wealth, and then took away the animals, and finally Vayamutu Gam Shnehem, divorce died, Machlon Lechiyot. But she was left over. So now again we have some kind of math calculation. First there were four, and now one died. The Megillah said we have three. Now the Megillah said we have three. Two died, now we have left with one. So of course, you don't, the Megillah doesn't have to tell you that. You cannot say the Megillah was written in the word HaKodesh by Shmuel HaNavih. It's not just a history book. It says, no, Shmuel HaNavih wrote it by word HaKodesh. So you don't have to tell me if the children died that Naomi was left and she doesn't have children. But Takom, he, by the way, I'm sorry, I forgot to say that the Rambam in his commentary writes that it is a big mitzvah to live in Eretz Israel. And only if there is a famine, you allow to leave Israel. Otherwise, you have to live in Israel. It's a machloket if it means all the time, in our time, for example, as well, is the mitzvah of all of us to go to Eretz Israel. Is the machloket among the Chachamim, Rambam, a lot of Rishonim, Achronim, they all have this kind of discussion. If it is today a mitzvah to go to live in Israel, according to some Chachamim, it's a sin. You're not allowed to go to live in Israel. You have to wait for Mashiach to come. Hashem told us, do not go into Israel right now. You wait for Mashiach after the destruction of the Segmet Amidah.
And some Chachamim himself though didn't live in Israel.
Right, in the beginning, right?
He lived in Egypt.
Yeah, he went there. Rambam himself writes in his commentary, that he's doing a sin every day by not living in Israel.
Yeah, he did say it.
Right. That's what Rambam writes in his
commentary.
Yishbati etchem. Al talu b'choma, the Gemara says, אם תאירו ואם תעוררו את העבר עד שתכפת, וגמרא says, הקדוש ברוך הוא made us swear, and we should not go to Israel unless, to live in Eretz Israel, unless it's Hashem is telling us to go. By the way, חס שלום, but this is the message of Satmar.
Yeah.
The rabbi in Satmar, and a lot of big, and the followers are not as big as him, but a lot of big chachamim like him, they do think that it's forbidden to go to live in Israel until Mashiach will come. Because again, that's what it says in the Midrash, Hashem told us and asked us, please do not go to live in Israel.
But you have to
live in Israel. Some Tatma.
Yeah,
some Tatma.
The only reason is that they don't want to govern that. They said that we should not live under occupation. That's what they said.
But again, this was the Rebbe, the Tatma Rebbe, he wrote articles and articles to bring proofs from Zohar, from Midrash, from the Gemara. It's not time to go to live in Israel. We are in, if we may say, in exile. But what it means is really, we are right now, that's what the Gemara says, that right now we are punished. We are in a status that we are punished by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be. Now there's a lot of other reasons that some Chachamim say that we have to be still in Chutz La'aretz among the Goyim. The Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live among the Goyim in Chutz La'aretz in order to get the sparks, to get some more converts. And as a kapara, Chachamim says, the Gemara says, that exile is a forgiveness for Olam Israel. And by going to Israel, you live in Israel, you miss the kapara, you're not in exile anymore. Some Chachamim argue back that even if you live in Israel, if you don't have Beit HaMikdash there, and you don't have a Kadosh Baruch Hu dwells among you, it's also an exile, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Abraham Avinu. 400 years of exile is going to be for your children, and the exile was counted from the birth of Yitzchak, even though the Yitzchak lived in Israel all his life. But the Rambam writes in his commentary himself that a person should not leave Eretz Israel, should dwell in Eretz Israel, Chas Shalom, until only there is nothing to be gotten, and there is a big famine. But Rambam adds himself that even though that at that time you're allowed to live in Israel, you're allowed to go outside of Israel, still the Rambam writes that there's midat chasidut, that's the Rambam writes, it's called you have to be lach chasid. It doesn't mean satma, it means you should be an extra nice person. That behavior that you are chasid should prevent you from going outside of Eretz Israel. And the Rambam adds right away that these two children, Machlon Gershonion, Rambam describes them as holy people, not just holy, the Rambam describes them as very high level people at the top of the nation. The reason they die, that's the Rambam writes, is not because they married those two girls, because the Rambam himself thinks that they converted those girls. Again, it's a machloket if the girls were converted, if you allowed to convert them, if conversion will really be valid if you convert those girls. But the Rambam said they did convert, and the reason why they died because they left Israel. Again, you're allowed to be Israel with the famine, but still you have to be extra. What we call chasid. Chasid means that you be extra devoted for other things. And since you did not do it, says Rambam, you died.
Okay, define what the border of Israel, I mean, as you say, really what's the border, according to...
Well, yeah, the border is exactly one thing for sure, that all the Chachamim agreed that Mr. Albert wanted to feel in exile, so he went to Eilat. Eilat for sure is not Israel. For sure. That's not Eilat Israel in itself. Eilat for sure. There are people that say they don't want to leave Israel, they don't go visit Eilat.
Or Mauritius.
Right. And this is a very good thing that Mr. Albert went to Eilat for Pesach, because Pesach is supposed to come from exile to Israel. He's not supposed to be in Israel. That's the whole idea of Pesach. Pesach is the whole door by door, and every generation a person has to feel that he's coming out of Mitzrayim. Now, if you're already in Yerushalayim, how can you feel it?
So he's really, he did it right.
He did the right thing, Mr. Albert. He went to Eilat, he wanted to be in Eilat, to hear the shofar from Eilat, to go to Yerushalayim.
What's the border?
But he should know almost up, all the way up to Beirut in Israel. I mean, there's a major part of Lebanon inside Israel. And Other part.
It was in Eilat the whole time in Pesach, with Sylvan Shalom and his wife.
Right.
We were eating at the same table. And he said that he would come to visit me in Egerwood. So I have to get my guns ready
elders. So definitely Elat is out, it's out of the question, it's not Israel. Now, Jordan for sure, right. Now, after Jordan River. Now, part behind Jordan River also, this is called Ever Yadena Mizrahi. This is when God and the Ruben God the Church Menashe used to dwell. This is not really called Israel 100%. It's semi, we may say, semi halachot applies to that plan. That's called Ever Yadena as a little Jordan River. But it doesn't have the same Dusha as the Eretz Israel. According to some of the Chachamim, some of the Mekubalim has something that Israel doesn't even have. But again, according to the Halakha, according to Halakha, is not considered 100% Eretz Israel.
Right. What does that do? I mean, what is the border?
What we really think today, what the Halakha, what most of the people say today, most of the Chachamim say the border of Israel is all the way up from the north, all the way down, a little bit after Beersheba. And not including, almost all the way up to Gaza. Almost all the way up to Gaza. Not including Gaza.
No.
Moab is between Jordan and Iraq.
It's far.
It's far. It's on the other side of the Jordan River. And this is on the way to Iran. And this is over there is Moab, Ammon, and Edom. Those three nations. But this is really the whole secret. I think I spoke about this one time. This really, that land was promised to Abraham Avinu. But we never got it. Hashem gave it to Lot until Mashiach will come. Moab and Ammon, it means those two parts, Jordan, will Mashiach will come, will combine to Eretz Israel, and it will be part of Eretz Israel. Right now, the Gemara says, Abraham Avinu got only seven nations, even though Hashem promised him 10 nations. Three of them, this is Edom, Moab and Ammon, again, this is all in the territory of Jordan, towards Iraq and towards Iran. They don't belong to us. They don't have the same holiness as Eretz Israel, but eventually they will become part of Eretz Israel. And this is the thing I said a few years ago here, that this is one of the reasons that Elimelech went to Moab, because the Gemara says what Shmuel said before. His name is Elimelech. He said, "I'm supposed to be the king." King means that he is the first king. It means the Mashiach. And when Mashiach will come, he will capture and will bring back those three nations that were promised to Abraham was never fulfilled. And therefore he went to dwell over there, because that's really the place. By the way, we're going to learn soon that this is really what it says. When they married those two boys, Machlon and Shimon, they married those two girls. That's the Ariel says, the reason why they married those two girls, because those two girls were the daughters of Eglon Melech Moab, the king of Moab, and by marrying the daughters of the king, you will be so-called the king. There's no information who will be the king of Moab, and since Moab is part of the 10 nations Hashem promised Abraham, Elimelech went down there, and those two boys married the daughters of the king. Eventually, they're going to be the kings because they married the daughters of the king of Moab, and Moab is supposed to be part of Israel. And that's what Elimelech had in mind. So as long as Elimelech was alive, and he is going to be the king, they did not do anything. Since Elimelech died, the two boys went right away, and because they were such important people, they got married to the king's daughters, and now they had hoped that they're going to be the king of Moab, and Moab is only a part of a mystery of redemption that's going to be. It's going to be a redemption. The redemption is going to start from Moab. And that's what the Gemara says, really. Matzati David Avdi Bezdom. This is David HaMelech is going to be found in Sdom. But really, David HaMelech comes from Moab, because Ruth is from Moab. Ruth is David's grandmother. And this, the whole idea over here, that he's going over there to Moab to get his girl. this girl is the daughter of the king of Moab, and Moab is needed for redemption to be captured by Eretz Israel, by Am Israel. So the easiest way is that you become a son-in-law. You become a son-in-law of the king, eventually the king will die, and eventually you're going to have a Jewish guy like you almost had in Syria, Zechat Nikli Warcha, Eli Cohen. I mean, we just missed it by a second. Eli Cohen could have been the president of Syria, that's going to be the end of the Arab country. But Hashem did not point it, it was not time yet.
But he could only become king if there were no sons.
No, always Baruch Hashem, you know, Jew knows what to do, you know. But that's what Aril says. The reason why the Megillah is going to tell you that they're going to dwell in Moab, why you come to America, Elimelech? Why you went to Moab? If you want to run away, you want to cruise, you go to Turkey. Why are you looking, what are you doing in Moab? It says Moab is really should be part of Eretz Israel. This is the land that Hashem promised to Abraham. Just Hashem said that when Mashiach will come and get it. Again, he made a thought, you know, this is
but
time for Mashiach.
There's no famine.
Right. There's no famine. There's no famine in Turkey either. There was a famine only in Israel. There was no famine all around the world. And the reason why he went to Moab again is because he thought that he's going to be the king and the kingdom has to start from Moab, and he was right about it. Because Ruth comes from Moab, and David HaMelech didn't come from Ruth, Mashiach didn't come from Moab, really. Again, we have to remember again that Moab, this guy Moab is the grandson of Lot. It's not just, you know, somebody that we have no relationship. This is Abraham's brother-in-law. This is Abraham's nephew. Was walking with Abraham, was serving Abraham, Abraham saved him. So it means that guy is really our first cousin. Or great nephew, whatever. And this is why he says that Elimelech is going over there to do it. But again, the Ramban was in his commentary, those two boys, they died not because they married the two girls, they died because they left Israel, even though, says the Ramban, that you allowed to leave Israel if there is a famine, still, it's called Midat Chassidut, it means you have to be extra devoting yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because you are very important people, says the Rambam, you are Gdolei Ador, the Rambam describes them as the biggest in the nation at the time, and you should not really leave Israel, you should stay in Israel. Since you left Israel, you die. And the question is again, I mean, if there is no sin, so why did I? So Rambam said, well, because they are such a high level, those two people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the Tzadikim Kehut HaTahara like a hair, and since you are very holy people, you should not left Israel. And that's when Megillah says, they died, just again the Rambam says, just because you left Eretz Israel. Again the question is, what is really behind it, that Hashem is upset at them. Batakum sentence 6 with your permission, Batakum hi v'chamoteha batashem mizdeh Moab, after the two boys died, she left the place Moab and her two daughters-in-law. But Kishamah Bizdeh Moab, she heard from an angel from the people that came to sell, the peddlers that came, the Midrash says, she heard Kifakad Hashem et Amoah Tet Lahem Lachem. He says the famine was over. So the Midrash says, from Midrash Zion says, the famine was over is because that Boaz was praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Boaz is being described as Hasid. We'll get it what it means later. So Boaz is a Hasid, and he is the one that's praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the famine is over. So she heard the famine is over, then she takes her two daughters along with her, and they're going to Eretz Israel. She left the place together with the daughters-in-law, but they're going back to the state of Yehuda. It means they're going back to Bethlehem, they're going back to Eretz Israel, the famine is over. Naomi told the two daughters-in-law, please, you go back to your mother's house. Yes, Hashem Imachem Chesed, HaKabuchu is going to do kindness with you. Kashir HaShitem HaMetim V'Imadi, Hashem is going to do kindness with you the way he did with the dead ones, with myself, says the Gemara, what they did is this, just, you know, that you did not demand anything from them, for me, he don't want to have any payments, they don't hire lawyers, and they're not taking her to court. She not only that, the Gemara says that that Naomi paid for the burial, and she told him you don't have to pay for the burial. He says, go back. Not only that, they said that after they died, it was not right away when they left, and they said they're not going to marry somebody else. They're not going to marry somebody else, and also you supported me. They used the fed her. I don't know how they had money. Maybe they had some money left. So they fed her. They fed her, and they did not demand from her some money. I don't know how she had money, but that's the matter of fact. It was kind of a mutual thing. They did not demand from her anything. She did not demand from them anything. They supported her. They gave her food. They did not want her to pay them the alimony, the palimony. They did not want to ask her anything. And they also decided they're not going to marry anybody else right now. They want to stay with her. That's what it means. That's the Megillah means. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to do kindness with you the way you did with me. Please go back to your mother's house. I hope to God that you'll find your shiluch, that you'll find a man to marry, but she gave them a kiss, and they're crying. They're crying, what it means is that they're very upset that she tells them to go, and they cry. Somebody doesn't know what it means exactly. What the Megillah has to tell us is, what do we need to know that they crying? But the man are not, they disagree with her, they said back to her, no, kitach nashuv lamech, we're going back to your country. What it means is, according to some of the Chachamim, no, we want to convert. Again, according to Rambam, they converted, according to the Zohar, they converted, but again, according to Midrash, it is not convert yet. And now they're saying, no, we want to convert. He says, why you want to convert? They want to convert. Doesn't say what. But it told me, Naomi, short on the time, Lama Telach Naomi, he says, please go back, don't go with me, I'll leave Anime Be'amir Lachim Nashim. I see that you don't want to get married. Probably you're thinking, maybe I'll have children. No, I'm not going to have children. I'm old. Shovna Avnotai, Lechna Kizakanti Miyotlein. He says, first of all, I'm too old. I'm Kiyamah Rishitikva. Even if I would have gotten married tonight and I would have children, I'll enter Sabena, are you going to wait? Right. Yeah. We don't know yet exactly what it means. It's not really boom. It means if you want to intermarry the family, that's what Ramban writes in his commentary on the story with Tamar and Yehuda. That the boom doesn't mean really a brother-in-law with a sister-in-law, it also means somebody from the family to stay in the family in the Neshama. But she's saying, well, I'm too old to get married, and even if I get married right now and I'll have boys, who knows? Are you going to wait and not going to get married? I'll enter again, I will tell you, I'm not taking Mali, both Mikim, Kiyatari, Hashem, Akadim, who punish me. Please do not wait for me to get married, do not wait for me to have children, go back and get married. But he's saying, I call Lamba Tifkena, they're crying very bitterly, old, a lot, but he's shocked, or Parah Hamatah Hut of Kaba, or Parah decided to go back, but Hut of Kaba, who decided to get glued to Naomi, she's not going back.
But how long did they stay in war?
Well, it's a good question, Mr. Albert, very good question. If you look back at sentence number 4, it says this, they dwell over there about 10 years. But the Medra says, what you said, Mr. Albert, it doesn't say 10, it says like 10. Like 10, the Medra says, there's no information how long. Might be 30, might be 40, might be 5, we don't know. No. Might be 30, might be 40. It says, even though it says like 10, but it, because it says like 10, it is either 30 or 40, it's also like 10. There's a secret. There's a secret why it says it like 10, maybe we'll get to it. But the Medrash says, what it says in the sentence number 4, that it dwelled over there for 10 years, it doesn't say 10, it says like 10. Sentence number 4.
About, yes.
It says about.
Yes.
And the Medrash is very careful, and it says, what do you mean, about? It says about, the Medrash says, can be even 30 or 40 years. Again, it cannot be, so again, it's hard to know, but according to the Medrash, Ruth now, she's 40 years old. So they cannot say that 30 or 40 years. I mean, maybe she was 10, maybe. But definitely not 40. She wasn't married with them for 40 years at the age of one. But that's the Midrash says, 30 or 40. But Ruth, according to the Midrash, is 40 years old.
Yeah, she was relatively young, she's not an old woman.
Right, Ruth is 40, but not Naomi.
No, I'm talking about Ruth, sure.
Right.
She got remarried.
Right. This is Naomi tells her, go get remarried. It's time for you to go get remarried, and don't wait for anybody for me, because I'm not going to have children. Even if I will have children, even if I'll remarry, I will not have children very quickly for you to get married to. But Tomer, sentence 15, I see she went back to her nation, to her God. The question, what does it mean? If they converted, you cannot go back. And even if you're not converted, you cannot tell somebody, go back, do Avodah Zarah. It's a question. Chachamim asked this question. Please go back after your sister. But Tomer, what does it mean? Ruth answers back to Naomi, says, don't ask me. No, Hashem, I have to leave you. And go back, I'm not. I'm staying with you. Whatever you're going to go, I'm going to go with. I'm going to sleep. Wherever you're going to sleep, to the same hotel. Your nation is my nation. Your God is my God. Wherever you're going to go, and you're going to die, I'm going to die with you. It means I am part of Israel. I'm going to convert according to Chachamim.
Yes, he's converting here.
Right. That's what it means, really. That is, most of Chachamim say that they didn't convert yet. Otherwise, she wouldn't say that. And the Gemara says very clearly, since she's saying it, then Naomi is going to leave her alone, is going to agree with her. And this is the next sentence, that in the sentence 18, that Naomi is going to leave her, the Gemara says, from here you see and you learn that a goy that wants to convert, first you tell him it's better for you not to, but if you see that he's trying very hard, you should accept him with love. And it says, first Naomi tells her, go back, and since Ruth is very stubborn with me about it, and she said, no, I'm going with you, and I'm going to be with you, I'm not going to leave you, only if the death will separate us. And then sentence 18, Naomi says, that the Megillah says, Vaterich Metamethity, let's stop at Randa Berlea, Naomi stop talking to him, and the Gemara says, from here you learn about the convert, that you don't give him a hard time when you see he's very serious about conversion. Obviously from all those sentences you see that she was not converted before. Well, it's not so simple what conversion means right now. Conversion before we got to Har Sinai is easy. A person can convert. But after Mamad Har Sinai, there is laws about conversion. You have to have the Bedin, you have to go to Mikveh. I says, who is the Bedin here? Who is the three Chachamim, the three Rabbanim here? It doesn't sound like it was the conversion is going to be the way the Torah wants us to convert somebody. But this is the Gemara said that she's going to convert right now.
It must have been all about the children.
Right. But Elach Nashtayim, with your permission, sentence 19, they went together, Agbana Betlechem, so the Gemara says, it says, but Elach Nashtayim, all of a sudden it is like a description of two of them together, so the Midrash says, the Gemara says, it means since Ruth decided to convert, at that moment, she is exactly in the same stage of Naomi. So that's what the Gemara says, that the Pasuk, the sentence wants to teach us that since they had this kind of a discussion, and Ruth is very strongly, she wants to go so badly with Naomi, she is equal like Naomi. So what does it mean that she's equal? I don't know exactly. So they all look and they all see the city, they all come outside and they look at her, and they see, we don't believe this lady is Naomi. They didn't have those cell phones with the pictures. So nobody had the picture of Naomi, what happened to her. And now they see her. When they see her, they all say, look what happened to her. התמן עליה נדיקן אני קרן לי מראה, זה זנומי כעזן קומי מראה, כי אמר שעדיין לי מאוד, זה הקדוש מחופה נשמי, and this is why I look so bad. אני מלאה הלכתי, I went, and when I went, I was very wealthy, and very קמה שיבני השם, maybe she was pregnant, חכמים say, and now I'm empty, I have nothing. למה תקרן לי נעמי והשם ענה בי ושדה ירה לי? This is broke, call me נעמי. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me such a hard time, tortured me, and Hashem made bad things to me. Please, don't call me Naomi. Says, what does it mean? Why do you have to read it in the Megillah? What does it mean exactly? What do you mean, don't call me? Yes, call me. Who cares what they call her? Bottom line is, people did not recognize you. Not recognize you, you can tell them, they don't recognize me. I had a hard life. You know, I went to Moab, and it was a hard time for me. My husband passed away, my children passed away, they are descendants, I don't know. I lost my fortune. You know, to tell me, call me different name, what does it mean, call me different name, what does it mean? I says, why she has to say it, why the Megillah writes it?
Does Naomi mean anything?
Naomi.
Does it mean anything?
Yeah. What it means really is that my deeds are very nice. זה גמרא, נעמי נעימים מעשיה. That's her name is נעמי, the name נעמי that was given to her is that her deed should, is or should be very nice things. Not, she didn't have the best life. Well, it's not the best name to call. When you want to name somebody, so always, I mean, it's a make a cozy name, you know, it's a nice name. But when you want to name somebody, you look in the Tanakh first to see if that person had good life or bad life. So the Megillah will describe the life of Naomi as very, very tough life, very tough.
The same source as Naomi, or?
Maybe. But the way the Gemara says it's not. The Gemara says Naomi means Naomi Maaseha. Maybe it's the same source, maybe that's the problem. Maybe. She was a holy lady, but she had a hard time. You don't name a child after somebody that had, you know, like you call somebody's name is Yov. So I met a lot of people. If the name is Yov, but Baruch Hashem, they had a hard time. Because if you look in Sefer Yov, you look in the book of Yov, Yov was a very big tzaddik, it's true. He's a very holy man. He's the Superman. He's one of the best that ever was born on this world. But again, Dari says it's Gilgul Terach. Dari says why he suffered. So you read the book of Yov, it's a disaster. It's a disaster. There's nobody else on this earth suffered so much like him. So you go name your son Yov, so he says why you can name him Yov. So Dari says you name him Yov, the spark of Yov goes inside his child. So you read the book of Yov and you see what he did to your child. So before you name anybody, you have to look in the Tanakh first to see. To see, is it Michal, Merav, you see, you read in the Tanakh what that names had in the Tanakh. So for this, you know what you should expect in the life of the person. So then again, she's a holy, very holy lady, but her life was not the best one. I wouldn't say Ruth is the best. A holy lady, but again, her life. She married Machlon, and he died, and she married Boaz, and he died. She didn't go on a cruise, on a pleasure journey. Natasha of Naomi, sentence 22, with your permission, Beruta Moavia Kalataima. It says both of them came back Mizdeh Moav. Is that we know already? The Megillah does not have to tell us. But the Megillah tells us back that they both came, Behema Bau Bethlehem, Mishkilat Tzir Seorim, they came back to Eretz Israel when was the first day of Pesach. And this is the time that Am Israel, they go and they cut the harvest, the barley, in order to bring the Omer. It means they're going to bring the Omer, and happened to be that the both came, the land in Israel, when Am Yisrael is going now to cut the barley. So the Gemara says, the Midrash says, what do you mean, where do you cut the barley? You cut the barley at the night, on the night after the first night of Pesach. So it means like this, the Lela Seder is the first night, and the time that you cut the barley is the second night of Pesach. It means they arrived at the time. If they arrived at the time, it means they're walking on the day of Pesach. So the Midrash says, it's true. They walked in the day of Pesach, and they came from far away. It's called Tchumi. It says you're not allowed to come from like a desert. If you're in the desert on Shabbat or on Chag, you have to stay wherever you are, and you may not continue walking unless you're in the city. If you're in the city, you're allowed to walk. But if you're in the desert, you have Alpay Mamash, Shalosh Parsaot, you have a certain distance that you allow. You're not, for example, you're not allowed to take a journey on Shabbat in the forest. You're not allowed to, because there's no place that people live, and it's called Isur Tchumim. This is one of the mitzvot. Hashem said, Chachamim said, Isur Tchumim, he said, you're not allowed to walk in the place, there's no houses there. If you're there anyway, so you're allowed to move around a little bit. But you cannot just walk a lot. Now they're coming from Moab, and Moab is a different country, and they're passing by, and they're going from Moab, and they cross the Jordan River, and they're going to be next to Bethlehem. So they got to Bethlehem. So the Megillah says they get to Bethlehem on the second day of Pesach. It says you got to Bethlehem taking the Pesach. It means on the first day of Pesach you're walking. How do you walk on the first day of Pesach? Says the Midrash, no, they did not keep this halacha. They did not obey this halacha. It's a mistake, maybe it's a question. But anyway, those two ladies walked by on the first day of Pesach, and they walked all the way to Bethlehem. They get to Bethlehem, and in Bethlehem they tell them what's going on. It says, we're going out to harvest the barley. We need the barley for the home.
They didn't give them the same answer that they weren't Jewish or didn't make a difference?
No, she's Jewish. Naomi is Jewish for sure. She for sure is not allowed to. The question is if who's converted already by now or not. So there's no any information. When did she convert? And immediately, chapter 2 is like she's a complete Jew. And she's going to be a wife of Boaz, and doesn't say any conversion. Obviously, she converted on the way. I don't know how she converted on the way. There's no information.
How would she know if it's better
for them?
How would she know if it's better for them?
Well, probably they got emails. And probably they had the calendar from, from Ahavat Torah. And it says when Pesach is. And they had this kind of way to get some information from Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. There was no set of calendar, that those days they used to make Rosh Chodesh by the moon. So could not be any calendar, could not be any email. In order to know when Pesach is by only by the moon.
But she wouldn't have any Bedin unless somebody from Israel.
Right, they had to have messengers, but there are no messengers over there, so maybe that's what it means.
Now that we have a set calendar, why do we have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh?
Gemara says tradition. Yeah. It's not 100% answer, because it doesn't answer on Shavuot, it doesn't answer. It's not so simple. It's not just tradition, because tradition, you don't have tradition on Shavuot, because Shavuot was always Monday. Because you have to count 49 days, and you know when Shavuot is. But again, the Gemara says sometimes may not. Some Chachamim say that Hashem wants us to keep 2 days outside the first Israel.
I'm talking about the 2 days of Rosh Chodesh.
Okay, 2 days of Rosh Chodesh?
Yeah, if we have a set calendar, we know when Rosh Chodesh is.
Right.
So why do we still keep 2 days of Rosh Chodesh?
Right. Rosh Chodesh is a different answer. This is for the calendar.
It's a calendar.
It's to set the calendar. Yeah.
Of course.
It's to set the calendar. We must have. We must. It's just to set the calendar.
The 11 days different.
Right.
Yeah, you have to set it.
Now the calendar is set. But a few months ago, the calendar was not set. A few months ago, the calendar was not 100%.
What?
It was Adar? Before Adar it was, yeah. It was Kislev, I think, Teret. After Rosh Chodesh was too much after when the moon was born.
the birth of the moon. The birth of the moon was much earlier than Rosh Chodesh. But we have to do it because you see now it's set back, so. In Pirkei Avot, Rabotai, twice in Pirkei Avot you find the word Chassid. One time it says in Pirkei Avot that there are four levels of people giving tzedakah. One of the levels that the Pirkei Avot says, I would say she tends with two acherim. It says he wants to give charity and others should give charity as well. It's called Chassid. It's a normal thing. You don't have to call a guy person Chassid. Chassid is a title to describe somebody doing extra. So the Pirkei Avot says, if he wants to give, he doesn't want other to give, it means bad things. If he wants other to give, he doesn't want to give, it's bad things. He doesn't want not him, not them, it's bad things. It says, if he wants to give, and he has in mind somebody else should give, it says, it's called Chassid. It's not Chassid, it's a regular person, it's not Chassid. Another place in the Pirkei Avot, the description of Chassid is, it says, if a person says, Sheli Shalcha, Shalcha, Shalcha. A person said, mine is yours, and yours is yours, is Chassid. This is more understandable. You can understand it better. It means the person is very generous. And he said, mine is yours, and yours is yours, it means it's a very high level. But if he said, it's mine is not mine, mine is yours, and you keep for yourself yours, it means this is Chassid. And the question is, what does it mean? It's not called Chassid. What is Chassid exactly? What does it mean exactly? He said, mine is yours and yours is yours. What does it mean? It means really the person said to you, he comes to his friend, he said, here's the safe, and here's the key for my safe, and you take anything you want and you keep your safe. But I just don't think this is a normal thing that the Mishnah is going to call him Chassid. If a person wants to be generous and wants to help somebody, it says, Sheli Shelcha. Mine is yours. That is, you really mean it. That's what the Mishnah really means. That the Mishnah expects you to come and tell your friends, mine is yours. It means give him the key for the house, give him the key for the car, give him the key for the safe, give him a check on give him a signature on your bank account. That's what the Mishnah says. It's hard to believe that this is what the Mishnah is expecting from someone. To be called Chassid, again, this is one of the description of a person. To say, mine is yours and yours is yours. Right. So, the Midrash says over here, if you're going to read this Megillat Ruth, don't expect, of course we learn some halachot from the Megillah, but finally when you wrote Megillat Ruth, the purpose of the Megillah is to teach you kindness. Kindness in Hebrew is called chesed. Chesed. The chesed, you're going to go through the Megillah, and you're going to read the kindness, mainly of Miss Ruth, mainly.
Boaz wasn't kind to Ruth?
Boaz was very kind, yeah. Right. Boaz called Chassid, as I said before. Right. So, the Megillah says, this is the Gemara says, that the Megillah was written by Shmuel HaNavi just to teach you kindness. Kindness, again, kindness in Hebrew is Chesed. And Boaz over here is being described in the Targum that he is Chassid. Chassid. What is a Chassid? That he is praying for Am Yisrael, and this is why the coffin, the famine stopped. The famine stopped because he was praying. Sounds like that Boaz is a very nice person. He's praying for others. It's a nice thing. Why not? Why shouldn't you pray? But the Midrash tells us a horrible story. Horrible story. Midrash says this guy Boaz, that you know him as the name of Boaz, he has a different name. He's called Ibtan. Ibtan. Ibtan, if you look in Sefer Shoftim, he was one of the judges. So the Navi said that Ibtan had 60 children. 60. Probably not from the same wife. But the wife is not a machine. And even though she can have 10 births every time, 6. I mean, I don't know if you know, but there's a secret. I'm not a doctor, but a doctor can tell you that the lady has HaKadosh Baruch Hu made in the system of the lady 6 rooms inside the system that she actually can have 6 children. It's a miracle really the lady can have 6 children. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the ladies, Hashem created like 6 parts in the system that she can have every time 6 children. So 10 delivery, each one of 6 is not so bad. So maybe it was from the same word. There's no information. But this guy, Yitzchak, had 60 children. Says the Gemara, Masechta Baba Batra, the old guy in his home. Says the Gemara, a person should have children when he's young, when he's a little bit older, because you never know what might happen. Says the Gemara, what do you mean you never know what might happen? He says, this guy was, his real name is Yitzchak, that's his name, Yitzchak. His name is Boaz. But his real name is Ibsen. Ibsen again was a judge, made 60 weddings, and all his children died. Says the Gemara, 60 children died. What did he do wrong? Says the Gemara, he decided he's going to, when he sent invitations to the weddings, he decided he wants to see if it pays to invite the person. So it depends, you know, if the person was given, you know, a good present, you know, for the couple, or, you know, it pays to invite him. But if he's going to invite somebody that who knows if it pays, maybe he shouldn't invite him. But the Gemara said he was in the time of Manoach, and Manoach and his wife could not have children. Manoach was famous, and his wife, her name was Zalfonit. And they visited all the hospitals and all the doctors, and they could not have children. And it was known that she was not having a child. So this guy, Ibsen, said, I don't want to invite him to my wedding, because he's going to come to my wedding. 60 weddings I'm going to have, he's going to have steak, and all this good food in my wedding. But he will never make a wedding. And I don't invite him to my wedding. This guy, Ibsen, this guy was. He says, forget about it, I only invite to my wedding if somebody else will invite me back to his wedding, I can have steak over there. But if I have to invite him, Gemara, Masechet Baba Batra, I believe page 91, if I don't mistake.
They didn't give presents in
those days. No, maybe presents also, but the Gemara says, maybe it's a present also. But sound from the Gemara, right. It's better. Present is better, right? He's going to get 960 present. He doesn't have to give present. But the Gemara says that it means he will not be able to participate in a feast, in a party that Manoach is going to make. All his children died in his life. 60, the Gemara says, had 60 funerals. It says, who is the one that you're going to have? It says, this one. The Drat Hashem soon is going to learn, says the Gemara, that Mr. Boaz is going to marry Ruth, and he's going to have a child.
You want to die too.
You want to die too, but get to it. Right. Right. But again, says the Gemara, it says, you never know, even though you had 60 children, and you said, ah, Baruch Hashem, I had 60 children, v'chulan metu b'chayav. It says, all of them died in his lifetime. It says, because, says the Gemara, if we may say, in a nice word, miskindness. Don't have enough kindness. It says, you make a party, so you think, it pays to invite this guy, doesn't pay to invite this guy will never have any children. It says it's a big debate among the Chachamim, yes, no, how is it possible, it's not nice, this guy Boaz being described, this is not nice, a judge, things like this. It's not like this. He made Shvot HaShoftim. The Megillah starts with a sentence called Shvot HaShoftim. Shofet means judges, judge. Right. I said judges means like this. It says this, judge, usually, judge means tough. It says he does what he's supposed to do. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, Yerushalayim was destroyed because the judges were very strict. Shiloh, the Gemara says, that the reason Yerushalayim was destroyed is the Gemara Masechet Baba Metzia because she'emidu dinim al din Torah. They said the judges went according to the book. There is no mercy whatsoever. If you have no mercy whatsoever, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yerushalayim, the Tanidash cannot stay if you're too tough. Even you are the king, you're the judge, but you cannot go free. It says, this is my idea, it says, you don't deserve it, or this. It says, go back. I said, that in America, the gift, I don't know if it should be on the tape, but you know, if you want to, you erase it. If you ever have a Jew that you don't want to go, and you come over there, and they ask you, yes, it says, yes, I'm very happy to be here. That I was waiting for that day because I want this guy dead. He needs to send you home. He says, you cannot be in the jury. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says to Al-Khan, the Rambam, you may not appoint a judge to Bedin HaGadol if this person never got married. He has no children either. Because he's going to be a very tough judge. He won't have any mercy. So even though you're a judge, even though that you're a king, you must be a little bit, so we say, kind.
Rahamim.
Kind.
Is that Yaakov?
Yaakov, Abraham. That's what it is, that's the whole thing, but then I'm going to speak about it, it's contradictory, right? Even if you're a judge, you have to be tough, and if you have mercy, you have to be mercy. Again, the Gemara says, Yerushalayim was destroyed. Ariel, are you listening? How about your brother? That Yerushalayim was destroyed because the judges were too tough. So the Gemara, what do you expect? The Gemara said you should expect a lot of mercy and kindness from the judges. So this Megillah was written by Meshvot HaShoftim, says the Gemara, you should know the Megillah was written by Shmuel HaNavi. And we're going to teach you something. We're going to teach you something, what does it mean to be tough? Or what does it mean not to have kindness? And what does it mean exactly to be kind? And this is the Megillah will start, you know, which for the Shoftim was a famine. Famine. What does it mean? It's very simple. It says that everybody is so strict, Hashem is strict with you. The minute all the judges were very strict, for the Shoftim, it was before the time of the king that really should have some mercy. It says this is going to cause famine. Of course, the Gemara also said something else about it, but the idea, says Zari, it means a judge, if he's too tough, is going to cause Chas v'Shalom Hashem to be upset, and that's exactly what the Gemara says in Masechet Bava Metzia, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim because the judges were too tough. And the Megillah will tell you right away, it says the head of the nation at the time was Elimelech, it says this guy Elimelech, he said that he's supposed to be the king, that he was the one, the richest person, and the high qualified person, and he can do anything. It says famine starts, he's too tough. He's going to move to Moab. It says that's the perfect place for you, mister. Because that's the place, really, that the Torah says not intermarry to that nation, because they had no mercy. It says that fits you very well. It says, "Lo yavo amoni u'moavi v'kal Hashem gam dor asri azvar asher lo tikmu etchem balechem u'bamayim bader betetchem emitzrayim." It says, "Do not intermarry that nation, the cruel people." It says, "That blood of the cruel people should not mix and intermarry with Am Israel, because Israel rachmanim bayshanim u'gomech hazadim." If somebody is going to ask you what a Jew is all about, says the description of a Jew is kindness. And you have to be shy, and you have to be very nice to each other. That's the Gemara says, that's the son of a Jew. Not because he has a big nose, or any other description. It says, if you see somebody that has mercy, it might be a Jew. If he is very cool, it's not a Jew. It says, that guy is Elimelech, with all the respect, says the Gemara, you have to understand that he is very wealthy, and the famine started, the poor people, the Mishulachim started to come, and he said, excuse me, I'm not home, put a sign, move to Moab, if Mishulachim should come to Moab, visit him in Moab. He's not available to give tzedakah, to give food. And that's what the Gemara says, that's the punishment, Hashem is going to kill him, is because he really is supposed to be the king, and because he's supposed to be the king, he's supposed to have mercy. But if you are a king very tough, Without mercy, Hashem is very tough with you, because you don't care somebody because he doesn't want to open the door to for the Mishulach. But you care somebody that if he has the mission to become the king, Hashem expecting from you to have a lot of kindness and mercy. And this is really what the Megillah is all about. The Megillah is going to tell you that the kindness that people have will help them to survive, and whoever doesn't have kindness will not survive. Says the Gemara, "Ezu chassid amit chassid im kono." This is the first description. If you want to buy a chassid, it's not chassid that you buy a shtreimel and you live in Williamsburg. Chassid means that you do kindness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says, that's what the Rambam writes in his commentary on those two children, Machon v'Chilion, and says the two children, Machon v'Chilion, and that you are really allowed to be there to serve this famine, but if you are very kind with your creator, with your father, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Rambam, you don't leave the country. So that high level is called kindness, it's called chassid, that you reach, that the first thing is between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what chassid is all about. That you are for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the level that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from me. That's really what the Mishnah Tosha Avot says. It says there are four levels in people giving charity, giving tzedakah, and it says the one that says me should give, and they should give is chassid. Because chassid doesn't mean that this is a title. Chassid means what's the level. So the level of a person, of chassid, it means wants to be kind, but not he should be kind. It means everybody should be kind. It means kindness, this is the sign of Amisrael, but this is something necessary for a kingdom, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come. So the Beit HaMikdash would not be able to stay, Yerushalayim would not be able to stay unless we all should be kind to each other. And that's really what the Mishnah says. As the person says, mine is yours and yours is mine, is chassid, that's what it means. It means I am for you and I don't need anything for you, that's what it means, it's chassid. It doesn't mean that he should open up his safe, he should give his bank account to somebody. But it means my idea over here is for you, and I don't expect from you anything. With all the respect to the Gemara, again, that's the way simple Chachamim wants to give some answers, but the way it is in the Gemara, Mr. Ibsam Rabotai was for himself. It says, made 60 weddings, and he is not going to invite Mr. Manoach and his wife, and said they will not have any children. Was known in the town that she is Akara, she cannot have. And the Machloka, the Medrash says, also he, they had an argument in the house. Who is really the fault? Whose fault is this? Until the angel came and told her, it's your problem, it's not his problem. But anyway, everybody knew that they're not going to have children, so Mr. Boaz said, I don't invite him to the wedding. I don't want to hear from them. It's not for me. They're not my friends. I said, I have my list, invitation list, is whoever's going to give me a present, I'm going to invite him. He is not going to have any wedding, I will not be able to enjoy any parties, he's not going to make parties, forget about it. Until this famine, when the famine started, and says, Ari, that's called Boaz Chassida, now all of a sudden in Eretz Israel, Mr. Elimelech went to Moab because he's too tough, and he is really supposed to be the king, and because he leaves Eretz Israel. Because he doesn't pray for Am Yisrael, the Medrash says. Not only that, because he made Am Yisrael getting depressed, because he was the wealthiest one that was able to support all Am Yisrael, and all of a sudden he left Israel, and everybody was so upset, he said, this is the guy that we trusted, that in case it's going to be a depression, 1929, he can support all Am Yisrael, and the guy left with all his fortune. He says, it means you don't worry about him, so there's no mercy on anybody, so kingdom cannot be by you. It says, I'm going to move it to your nephew. It says, Mr. Boaz, he is going to be the new candidate. It says, now Mr. Boaz, the one that did not want to invite Manoach and his wife for his wedding, he is praying for Israel. Now that he's praying for Israel, he's going to do a lot of kindness. It says, now he gets back the opportunity to be the king or to create the kingdom of Amisrael. And that's the purpose of the Megillah, that's why each one of you wrote this. And the Megillah is going to describe Ruth and Orpah and Naomi, kind to each other, very kind to each other, and this is just because this is a must for the kingdom of Amisrael to start with kindness. And that's what the Megillah says, when you read the Megillah, don't expect anything, just to show kindness. Because it means you cannot expect a king should be too tough.
if you want the kingdom to hold. And that's what the Ari says, Melech HaMashiach, the Betamigdash must, the king has to have a lot of mercy. He has to know what to do, but he has to have mercy. If he has no mercy, the kingdom will not be whole, and the opposite is going to be a famine. And the Gemara says that this really was supposed to be a very big famine, time of Shaul HaMelech, because Shaul HaMelech did not have too much mercy, if you remember the story of Nodira Kohanim. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu switched it from Shaul HaMelech's generation to David HaMelech's generation, because at that time, the Gemara says, the generation was able to take the burden of the famine. But really, the big famine should have been at the time of Shaul HaMelech, because he was a king without mercy, had no mercy. I said, really, the king maybe should be like this. But he had the wrong mercy. He had the mercy on Amalek, but he doesn't have mercy on his own people. So the Gemara says, it's the wrong mercy. So you have to have mercy on your own people. So if you want to have mercy on your own people, you have a rabbi over here that came from Eretz Israel. He was born in Shanghai, in China, and he helps the poor people in Eretz Israel. He doesn't take a penny to himself. So this is proof to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to have the Mashiach now. Amen. Amen. Amen.